We want to turn this morning to the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 8. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, we begin our reading at verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, we stand before you this morning, clean every whit, because we've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is indeed power in the blood. And those who have been cleansed by that precious blood can sing as we did this morning, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That commitment is real. The keeping is real because nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's the most thrilling thing we know to be your child and to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Give us insight this morning into the activity of the Savior as he draws this leper to himself, and as he cleanses him, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing occasionally that great hymn. The second stanza says, Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can cleanse the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. And then, of course, that great chorus, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. In this portion this morning, we have the cleansing of a leper. Our Lord is coming down from the mountain. We have been spending a long time going through the Sermon on the Mount. This is a fitting conclusion to that great sermon. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord taught the multitude. And now he's coming down and a multitude is following him and a leper approaches him. And he approaches the Lord and the leper worships. And he asks for one thing. He asks for cleansing. Now having spent as long a time as we did in the Sermon on the Mount, what is your reaction to it? The reaction that should really be true in each of us is that we are moral lepers before God. When I read the Sermon on the Mount, I find how far short I come, how much I need to be born of God, and how much I need the cleansing that flows from the blood of Calvary's cross, from the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses from all sin. We are moral lepers in the sight of God. We need to be cleansed by the mighty work of the Savior, that work which can make us clean. For our Lord said in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But the leprosy springs from something small, and it envelops the whole body. And so it is with sin in the heart. It envelops all the actions of the life. And it's on the inside that we need to be cleansed. And the Sermon on the Mount doesn't make the outside of the cup clean. It deals with the inside of the cup first. And then he moves to the outside. For the Sermon on the Mount deals with the holiness of God and the sinfulness of sin. And when we seriously consider what our Lord ministered, there on the mountain, we realize how far short we come, that we are indeed moral lepers in the sight of a holy God. Not a leper that approached our Lord in the story this morning. He's a physical leper. But in Scripture, the physical illustrates the spiritual. When we had Lazarus raised from the dead, it is a picture of the resurrection of the body. And in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the physical is a picture of the spiritual. He's going to raise us up also from the dead. Now, this is seen in the first man in the Bible who became a leper. Now, you all know who the first person in the Bible was that became a leper. Let us turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 4. Now you know, a man by the name of Moses. God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, and he said to Moses, when Moses turned aside to see that bush that was on fire and yet wasn't consumed, when Moses turned aside, God said to him, "Don't come near, take off your shoes. For the place where you stand is holy ground. You're in the presence of holiness." And then he tells Moses he's going to send him back to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And then Moses, he doesn't want to go. He's rather reluctant to go. And Moses said, "Now they may not believe me. Give me a couple miracles that I can perform, the signs that they'll believe me when I go." And in verse 2 of Exodus chapter 4, we read, "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it to the ground. And he cast it to the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it." But now notice verse 6. "And the Lord said furthermore, Put not thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow." What is God teaching us here? See, God appeared to Moses at the burning bush, and God revealed to Moses his faithfulness. He came down in response to the promise he made to Abraham in the Abrahamic covenant. Moses is asking for a sign, for a miracle, to show the Israelites so they believe him concerning this miracle with the Lord. And God says, "Okay, Moses, I'm going to perform a miracle. I'm going to show you what you're like on the inside. Put your hands into your bosom. Now bring them out." And when he brought them out, they were a leprous hand, white as snow. In the light of the Sermon on the Mount and all that we said, how do you feel? You know what your heart is like in the sight of God? For that's what God showed Moses. He showed him what he's like on the inside. But God demands, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." We can look so good on the outside, and everybody around us may think, "Oh, he's all right. That person sings in the choir. That person does this. That person does that." But they're not all right. God deals with the heart. You know, the time came when Moses was leading the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan. They were in the wilderness of sin. And God had Moses smite the rock, a great picture of Calvary, and the water flowed forth in order that Israel could drink. But then we read Amalek came. And Amalek is a picture of the flesh and how the flesh works. It was immediately then that Amalek came and he fought with Israel. And Joshua was busy down in the valley fighting Amalek. But Moses and Aaron and Hur were up in the mountaintop. And Moses interceded. And when Moses lifted up his hands in intercession, Israel prevailed. But Moses' hands got tired. You know, it's an amazing thing. You don't read that Joshua got tired with his activity down in the valley. But it's Moses who got tired in prayer. It seems that way sometimes here on a Wednesday night. Our brethren are tired. They're tired. Oh, we have a lot to say about automobiles, and we have a lot to say about this, and balloons, and other things. Don't have much to say to God in prayer, though. Oh, we can talk about guns. We can talk about rifles. We can talk about hunting. We can talk about fishing. We don't have much thanksgivings for God. Moses got tired. But you know, when I look at Moses as he lifted up his hands, and he's able to intercede for Israel, and when he lifted them up, he was able to pray. He looked back to the day when he saw them for what they really were. Are you able this morning to look back to the day and see what you really were in the sight of God? That day that you cried out for cleansing. Maybe you never cried out. And that may be the reason that you don't have much to say to God. You never really cried to God, having seen yourself as you really are, a moral leper in his sight. Morally lost, morally undone, a leper in the sight of God. Each time Moses lifted up his hands and looked at him, he was reminded of what he was on the inside. I'd like to ask you a question. Are you able to intercede for others? If you have a brother or sister and they came to you, or maybe a son or a daughter, they said, "Dad, I believe I'm lost, and I need to be saved. Can you help me?" Could you point that person to the Lord? Are you able to pray? Are you really able to talk to someone else about the things of God? Have you received a new heart yourself? One of the great preachers of Great Britain, he was a preacher, and one night he got a note. He was already in bed. And the girl who wrote the note said, "Come on down, my dad is dying, and I want you to get him in." What she meant, "I want you to tell him how to get into the kingdom. I want you to tell him how to be saved." And he said, "When I got that note, I looked at myself. I looked at that notice, and he said, 'Tell him how to get in.'" And he said, "I'm not in myself. How can I tell someone else to get in?" He went to see that man, and he said that night, he said, "I knew the gospel from my head. I knew it so well. But that night," he said, "when I told that man how to get in, we went in together. I went in too." Are you in? Are you in the kingdom? Are you able to say, "I can pray for others? Because I'm in. I once was a leper. I was outside. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed me from my sin." Can you talk about a time when you were saved, when God did a work in your soul, and you passed from death unto life? Oh, here's a leper, you see. Now we want to notice a few things about this leper. First of all, his condition. You see, he had a loathsome disease. The state of his life was most pitiable in the extreme. He was an outcast from society. He was shunned as an unclean person. In the will of the Lord, this coming Saturday night, I'm going to be with those that I went to school with. Our graduating class is having their reunion. And the lady I spoke with on the phone, you know, young people can be very cruel. There's a girl in our class who said, I don't know why I should come to the reunion. No one really cared for me in high school. No, there are people that you shun. I said to this girl, I said, weren't we cruel? Shunning somebody? You know how it feels to be on the outside? This leper was on the outside. When anybody came near him, he put his hand up in front of his face and he cried, unclean, unclean, shun me, don't come near me. It's one thing for other people to automatically shun you. It's another thing to tell them to. And the leper had to tell them to shun him. Think of the condition of this man. He was hopelessly afflicted. He was the object of perfect misery. But notice his reverence. The scripture says he came to the Lord worshiping. Don't miss that word. Trusting Christ as Lord and Savior is our first act of worship. You never worship until you open the heart and you trust the Lord. I never worshiped before I was saved. I went through motion, but I never worshiped. He's coming worshiping. My. But then he begs for something. He didn't beg for money. But he begged for cleansing. Oh, I need to be clean. And you see, to stand in the presence of a holy God, and we're conscious of something, for we just finished a couple weeks ago the verses, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not done this, and have I not done that? And in thy name cast out demons, in thy name done many wonderful works, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. They're on the outside, they're not on the inside. Everybody probably thought they would be, but they're not. And he said, he'll say, I never knew you. Here's a man who came begging for cleansing. He knew that when he stands in God's presence, he needs to be pure in heart. And like Moses of old, when he saw what he really was, he was a leper. You remember what God told Moses in the next verse to do there that we didn't read. Told him, put your hands into your bosom again, and they came out clean. For when God gives a man a new heart, everything else in his life conforms to the new heart. The way he does business, the way he walks, where he goes, what he says, what he does. It comes out of the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now I want you to notice our Lord's response to this man. Our Lord did something that no one else would do. Other people shunned him, but our Lord touched him. Our Lord went over and he stretched out his hand to the leper. Oh, think of the Savior. This is what he did when he became flesh. We sing occasionally that hymn, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone. He bore in his own body our sins on the tree. We sang this morning at the Lord's Supper, Jesus, my Savior, died nailed to the tree. Cruelly crucified, stricken for me. Darkness there shut him in. God judged him for my sin. And this is what our Lord is doing. He touches the untouchable. He touches the one that I wouldn't want to touch. I went to a leper colony in Africa. I saw lepers. I'm not going to describe them. I saw them. I was there. Our Lord touched him. Everybody else was afraid to. And you know, there's a hymn that I heard the other day, I didn't hear it for a long time. The third stanza says, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. No one else could do it. And he touched the leper. Our Lord took the initiative and he put forth his hand. And then those words of grace. I just love it. The leper said, Lord, if I will, thou canst make me clean. The Lord says, I will. That's grace. Oh, that day that I got saved, I heard the gospel. I heard that a sinner like me can be saved by trusting Christ, and he'll cleanse a heart. And from the heart like a leper, I cried, Lord, if I will, you can cleanse me. The Lord said, I will. That sweet. That simple. And he saved me. I will. And you know what? The leper was cleansed every bit. Every bit made whole. Can you imagine the inner feeling of that leper as he was cleansed by the Lord? But then our Lord did two things. He said to the man, he said, now keep silent about this. Don't talk about it. See, our Lord had taught in the Sermon on the Mount, don't be like the Pharisees. They blew a trumpet when they did something, not our Lord. Our Lord said, this will take care of itself. You won't have to tell anybody. Everybody else will know it. And then the second thing he told him, he taught him the truth of Calvary's cross. That's what he did. He said, now you go to the priest and you offer that which is required by the law of Moses. And when you study the law of the leper's cleansing in the book of Leviticus, you have one of the most beautiful pictures of Calvary that's found in the whole of Scripture. So let us turn to Leviticus chapter 14, and we're going to read a few verses. The book of Leviticus chapter 14. See, our Lord doesn't stop with us after he saves us. He wants to teach us. You want to know something? I learned far more about the love of God, and about the cross of Calvary, and the work of the Savior since I'm saved, than I ever did getting saved, that day that I trusted Christ. In fact, that day that I trusted Christ, I don't know if I could even quote John 3:16. Now the reason I say that, I could quote a lot of scripture. I might have been able to quote it. The reason I remember, there's a salesman came to our home. And we started talking to the salesman about the Lord. Oh, he said, I know John 3:16. And I didn't know what John 3:16 was. And I remember that. And my sister knew it. And she quoted it, but I couldn't. And I've never forgotten that since. So you see, there's a lot I didn't know. But the Lord continues to teach us after we're saved. And we learn far more after we're saved. And here in this grand truth, in Leviticus 14, we're going to read the first 8 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, wash himself in water, that he may be clean, and after that he shall come into the camp. What do we have here? Well, the first thing is in verse 2. The leper has to be brought to the priest. He doesn't bring himself. And you know, for you and me who are saved by God's grace, and we love to emphasize the grace of God, I was dead in trespasses and sins. Morally, I was a leper. I had to be brought to Christ. The scripture says, no man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. We were brought to Christ. Like Mephibosheth of old, who was lame on both his feet, he was brought to David. The second thing, the priest takes these two birds. He kills the one in an earthen vessel over running water. It speaks of the death of Christ. God's dear Son, his death on the cross. And we sang this morning, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. And you see, it's the blood of that slain bird that becomes important in the cleansing of the leper. And then the priest takes that living bird and the scarlet and the hyssop and dips the living bird, the scarlet and the hyssop, into the blood of the bird that was died, that was killed. And then he takes the living bird, and the living bird is let loose into the open heaven. That's resurrection. But that same blood that's carried into heaven after our Lord ascended into heaven, the scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews, he entered into the holiest of all how? With his own blood. He entered into the holiest in glory with his own blood. Just as the live bird is let loose with the blood of the dead bird upon him. A picture of death and resurrection. And then that same blood that is taken and the priest sprinkles that blood of the dead, of the slain bird upon the seven times upon the leper. And the leper is pronounced clean. The Word of God teaches us, friends, concerning the work of our blessed Savior, Romans chapter 6, that we are united with Christ in death. We are united with Christ in resurrection. We are united with Christ as the one who ascended into heaven and is seated at the throne of the Majesty on high. This is what our Lord taught the leper. You are united to me. You see, we're identified with Christ's death. We're identified in his burial. We're identified in his resurrection. And this is beautifully brought out in Romans 6 in relation to this is what takes place is figured in the baptism. When we are baptized after we're saved, just like the leper, we need to be taught. And the first lesson that God wants to teach us is baptism. That's the first thing that follows salvation. Doesn't precede it, it follows it. He wants to teach us of our union with him in death, in burial, and in resurrection. In closing, I'd like to ask you a couple questions. Question number one, have you ever owned your own personal sinfulness and defilement, your moral leprosy, to a holy God? Question number two, are you able to pray for others? I will that men everywhere lift up holy hands. When Moses lifted them up, they were holy in Exodus 17. But when he lifted them up, when the Lord gave him that sign, he saw what he was. And you know, God only saves one class of people. He saves moral lepers. He saves sinners. And if you don't think you're in that condition, well, you need to be pitied because you are. God's Word says so. And that's who He saves. And the nice part about it, when we cry out for cleansing, He does something that no one else can do. He can touch a mortal leper like me and say, I will be thou clean. And He gives us a new heart. And we become part of that group that is called blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Are you able to intercede for others? One of our biggest problems is pride. if not our biggest. We get to the place in life and we get enough religion that pride comes in and says, what are people going to think if you own your leprosy? And we become so proud to admit that we're lost and we need the salvation that's in Christ Jesus. And pride stands in the way. And instead of coming to Christ, we go on in our sin. That's why the Word of God says God hates a proud man, a proud person. My cry to you today, if you're full of pride and you've never come to Christ, come to Him today. Own your moral leprosy. Trust that work of Christ. And just like the leper, be united to Him in death, in burial, and in resurrection. May God enable you to do it. There's a hymn in our hymn book I quoted in the beginning, 219. We'll sing the first and second stanzas. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all, and especially that second stanza. Lord, now in thee I find thy power, and thine alone can cleanse the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Now I think it can change the leper's spot in our hymn books. That's unfortunate. That word should be cleansed. God never changed the leper's spot. He cleansed lepers. That's what He does. He cleanses lepers. And in the cleansing, then there's a real change. Let's stand.